The following presentation, Moonshot Pilot Site Case Study, Implementing Federated Authentication with Moonshot at the Diamond Light Source, was given by Stefan Pato of Diamond at Network Shop 42 in April 2014.
The service works, I know that much. Right, so good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stefan Pato, as Henry's just introduced me. I am a software engineer at the Diamond Light Source. And yes, so I'm here to talk about federated authentication in with Moonshot in the Diamond Light Source. So is this it, is it?
Yes.
Which button do I push? The red. No?
One side.
That one? Yeah. There we go. Right. Who is the Diamond Light Source? That's us. We are the biggest round building in the UK. Yes. Even the GCHQ fits into our building. So, although we won't talk what happens with them underground. But yes, we are the biggest science investment in 45 years in the UK. The government has spent £450 million since 2003 in three phases on that. Now, that big round building is where we keep our machine. The machine is effectively three parts. We've got the synchrotron, there. You can see a little bit of an arch there. That is the synchrotron. However, the actual big round building is the storage wing, where we have also our experimental stations, which are called beamlines, where experiments happen. Now, I'm going to show you the next one. As I've said, we are the largest investment in the UK in science in 45 years. We are a source of extremely intense light. Now, anyone here with a scientific background knows that when you take a bunch of electrons, they travel in a straight line. And when you bend them with a magnet, they emit electromagnetic radiation. That's effectively light. And with us, it is extremely bright X-ray, and it gets used for various things, which is why it says it could be thought of a huge microscope. That's effectively what it is. We have 22 different lines. Some of them do the same things, some of them do others. Yes, it's free for UK academic users. All our processes are peer-reviewed, and because there is a rather large desire to use us, we have to be sort of selective. And thus, yes, it is free to academic users, but you have to show a good case to use our facility. And we also have industrial users. People like Rolls-Royce in Derby came to us to scan their compressor blades for the Trent 1000 jet engine. And they did that on one of our beamlines. And yes, they paid a lot of money for the privilege. Right, how does a synchrotron work, or how does Diamond work? As you can see there, you have a bit of a racetrack thing in the middle and a bit of a dead end. The dead end is what's called the linear accelerator. It, at the end, contains something that used to be stuck in our lovely CRT televisions. Anyone who knows those? they have a big electron gun at the back. And then we accelerate the electrons to nearly light speed. And then in the racetrack, we give them more and more energy. And as we give them more energy, they become heavier, which means we have to give them more energy to keep them going. And we accelerate them to 3 giga electron volts. So we are the largest medium energy facility in Europe. And then, of course, once that's all done, it goes out into the outer ring, into that, which is the storage ring. And all those little black boxes are experimental stations. So every time you bend the beam, it emits light. We catch that light and we channel that into an experimental station where it then obviously can be used. So, yes. So Why are we interested in federated authentication? You can see there we've had over 3,800 experimental visits in the last year, of which literally the last 6 months were, well, sorry, in the last 6 months, 3,800. In the last year, it was over 7,000. So you can imagine we have a lot of users coming in. Many of them are repeat customers. They come back to us again and again. Some of them might just do an experiment for a couple of minutes, and they literally just send us a sample and say, can you scan this for us? Others might be there for several months. So several of them don't even come to us, and those generally tend to be the ones that just say, we just need a couple of minutes of your time. Here's a sample, can you scan it? And we then simply say, we'll load it in for you. You can access the Beamline yourself using remote authentication, just SSH into the Beamline, hit the button, and you do your scan yourself, and you use your data. Now, data itself is also a problem. We hit 1 petabyte of data in March in our archive, and that is since 2003. And with several large detectors, and Rhys saw one the other day, they tend to stream data. If you were to run them for an hour, they would stream 3 terabytes of data in an hour. Much of that is just empty, you don't really use it, but the files, they add up. And as you can see there, 22 terabytes per week that we shove into our archive. And that's a lot of stuff. And the researchers obviously want access to it. They don't want to have to go to our IT admins, bring a bunch of disks and say, sorry, can you load these onto disks for us? Especially when you're at 3 o'clock in the morning, you've just had a brainwave and you go, bugger, I can't get to my data because it's stuck in an archive at Diamond. So this is where we come in. We also, we're working with a group, with an effort in the EU called PanData. We have 13 different facilities in Europe that work together. And as part of this PanData thing, you can see that in total, in 2012, we had 31,000 users amongst those 13 facilities. So you can see this is not just us, but it's across Europe. And that's where the EU came up with the PanData project, which stands for the Photon and Neutron Data Infrastructure. And they want us to work together. So they are effectively forcing the science community to actually collaborate. And that includes a common federated authentication infrastructure, which is called Umbrella. Now, I seem to be diverging a bit for you, but there's method behind this madness, and it is because we are working on integrating Umbrella with Moonshot to make it easier for anyone to simply log into various facilities. So Umbrella ID is based on Shibboleth. Everyone here knows Shibboleth. Several facilities have implemented it into their user office systems, so you can simply log into their web user office system using Umbrella, and it is then linked to local accounts. Because our facilities are very safety conscious and security conscious, we will have a local account for you. Which brings us to the big problem. You have a user going to 13 facilities. You have to remember 13 different user accounts with 13 different passwords. And, well, we're talking about scientists who have one goal, their research, not really having to remember 13 different usernames and passwords. Which, yes, that causes a problem. But good news, obviously, is that even though Umbrella is web-based and it is a bit of a disadvantage, they are working with the Géant project to join Géant and, of course, then join Moonshot, which brings us to Moonshot. What is Moonshot? The lovely people at Janet have been working on this for the last 3-4 years, and in December, the IETF finally said, yes, you can have it. Here, have a couple of RFCs. They approved it, and it is now effectively a standard. You can start using it. It takes radius, and everyone here knows EduRome. EduRome is based on radius, and that's what Janet wants to use, that radius infrastructure with SAML, the flexibility of SAML, that you can provide a bunch of attributes and you can decide whether you want to authorize or deny access to your resources based on that. Of course, you want your client applications to be able to leverage that, which is where GSS API comes in. GSS is an API that the Kerberos people came up with. That's been pretty much in place for, two decades? And so effectively, this is just a plugin to that GSS API. Your client application, if it leverages GSS, can use that. Now, Moonshot has been in pilot phase for the last, roughly for the last year. We've been part of that pilot, and we are now at the point where we have a trust-rooted network which consists of two IDPs. One is at Cardiff, and the other one is over at Lumen House in Harwell at Janet. Now, how secure is Moonshot? Obviously, security has been kept in mind with this. It is point-to-point. That's not peer-to-peer, by the way. That's point-to-point. And it includes secure tunneling. So the trust router introduces the IDP to the SP, and they, once everything is cleared and they've got their negotiation done, they will talk to each other directly. So whereas with EduRome, it goes all the way up the chain and down the chain again of properties, this is not the case with Moonshot. So that is a straight TCP connection, and of course TCP you secure with TLS. So it is as secure as TLS can be. Client authentication happens with GSS API, which again is also very security conscious. SSH, for example, is an application that uses GSS, and thankfully OpenSSH and PuTTY patches are very close to going into the upstream, which means anyone can then effectively deploy Moonshot properly. Web access, you use SPNego. Anyone who's used Internet Explorer will have probably seen this in a Windows infrastructure. It automatically knows what your username and password was. It just automatically authenticates you and says, oh, welcome to your restricted location. This is something that Janet would also like to do. So there are things like JavaScript that are in progress, but we've been a bit, we've been jumping the gun a bit at Diamond. We came up with components for the JASIC CAS server, which sort of does the same thing. And of course, console access uses PAM, for which there is a module that does GSS as well. The identity is just like with an EduRome system, simply username at realm. Moonshot just continues with that. SSH, like I said, goes through GSS API. In X, you will have a nice little UI where you can choose the identity you wish to use. In text, it's slightly more complicated. You will have to use a file. But the passwords are stored in a GNOME keyring or a GPG keyring. Web access, again, with SPNego, it'll pop up a UI. You choose your identity. Say this is who I want to authenticate as, and it just does it. But with JASIC CAS, we've gone for the username at rel, just like an email address, and it just works. Console access with PAM, unfortunately, is the same because PAM runs as the root user, and of course, you would you can't just have an ID card set for various users. Then this is our infrastructure. I know it still says proposed, but I haven't updated the graphics. But that's effectively what it looks like. We've got our web services, which use the CAS server, which in turn can use Kerberos, which is what we use at the moment, or it can talk to the radio server, which then does authentication with EAP, MSChat v2, or it goes externally, does EduRome or Umbrella. And I will show you that in a couple of minutes. Why do we use Moonshot? Because Moonshot finally does what we want. Yes, with Shibboleth, we can do web federation. That's all nice and dandy, but that's not what we want. We want to be able to give our users the flexibility to log into a Beamline with a credential of their choice. Umbrella probably makes most sense because Umbrella is deployed to 13 other or 12 other facilities. Those users are starting to get used to the idea of Umbrella. We let them link their local account with Umbrella. It is their choice to do so. We don't force them to. We will have a nice little UI where they can link the two together, and when they say they no longer want to use the Umbrella account, they can delete the association, and it's as safe as it can get. Like I say, we will currently support Umbrella because Umbrella is fairly straightforward. EduRoam is a little bit more problematic because we rely on something called the Chartable User Identity, which since we've had a bit of a discussion on the Moonshot mailing list about that and its security and its provenance, how do you know that that really came from the facility that you thought it came from? Which is fair enough, which is a fair enough assumption. And that's why we say it's subject to support by the home organizations because they will have to release the CUI. And at the moment, I think there are two or three organizations in the UK that release it, one being the University of Loughborough and us. So Jamlet apparently doesn't do it yet. of course, this means that locally in our system, even though they have authenticated themselves with Umbrella or with their EduRoam account, they will still be known by our systems as their local account. So they will still be known as whatever username we gave them. Any local resources will be restricted as per our policies on that local username. So whatever happens, what we decide that local username has access to, that's what they will get access to. And that was our progress. We effectively got started in March. We implemented an EduRoam in architecture. I hope there's no one here from the University of Western Australia, because we borrowed their domain purely for illustration purposes on the basis that they are on the other side of the planet. This is what someone from the other side of the planet can do on this side of the planet by simply logging in. We then added Umbrella in August after we got our own Umbrella server running and we were able to actually test it. We then released our authenticator to Maven Central, so anyone with CAS who wants to use Moonshot can effectively download it from Maven Central using Maven. Just build it and it shows up. And then we also worked with Daria. Daria is effectively to the arts and humanities what Pandata is to us. And they had a little ECP client for Shibboleth and it didn't do proxy. So we worked with them to give them proxy capabilities in their client, which they were very thankful for. And in return, they said, here, have the client and use it. And we said, well, thank you very much, we'll do that. And we then worked on a tool, on an authenticator for a system called ICAT, which is used by all those facilities to map their data. And it effectively now allows them to log in with ICAT through that, with Umbrella. And then in March, we launched our first Beamline with Moonshot. And I shall demonstrate that to you shortly. And of course, then in April or May, we hope to join the Trust Router network. Unfortunately, that was delayed slightly because our infrastructure team decided that they needed to change the firewall. And so everything was frozen, and we're just waiting for that to stabilize by the end of April, and then we'll just connect to the Trust Router network. And that is it. Now, I'm going to show you the demonstration. I just have to fire up my laptop here. So I do apologize. It is going to take a little while. And oh, and I've noticed I've got a microphone here. Sorry. And let's wait and see what happens. So, whoops, no, I don't need network, that's fine. Okay. Yes, oh good, resuming Windows. Sorry, it's taking a little while, although it is an SSD system, it's Windows, enough said. As opposed to Linux systems where it's a bit quicker. Okay, excellent. And we shall start with PuTTY. Of course, my version of PuTTY does not have the patches, so we have to go into a portal system, which allows us to moonshot. I'm just going to, oh God, what's the password for that? Ah, yes. Good, there we go. Right, I'm now on our portal system, and I will now demonstrate or give you the most underwhelming demo you've ever seen. There you go. That is my actual federal ID at Diamond. So anything that QFS 70885 can do, I can do. And of course, this has been done with, don't worry about that message. That's not my message. That is an SSH message. I blame Ubuntu. And, oh, sorry, I'm just trying to find the file. There we go. That's at the moment. That's my, that was my umbrella ID. I hope no one saw what the password was. Good. And I'm going to now demonstrate the web version of this because, obviously, web is very important to us. I have a web service. Oops, G18. There we go. I've got something called CasCheck, which is just a basic check that allows me to demonstrate how it works. This is CAS, and as you can see, it says Moonshot Central Authentication Server. And it also talks about the username or your umbrella ID if you have one linked to your federal ID, which I happen to have. So I shall type in my umbrella ID. As you can see, that's just a username, email address style username. And I shall type in my password. And it will authenticate. And it will tell me, look, who am I? There we go. That's my Fed ID. It has logged me in as my Fed ID. And that's ultimately what this whole thing is about. And I've just logged out. I'm just going to go to a... Confluence server. Oh, well, okay. And I'm going to go to, let's say, Pandata Authentication, which is an earlier version of our actual Pandata page where a lot of our progress has been passed. So I try to log in. Again, I can type in my real username, or I can just use... I'm just going to use Bob, actually. So I do apologize to anyone at the University of Western Australia. Anyone called Bob. And please tell me you're going to work. Don't tell me that we've got a problem with our... EduRome feed. I think we do. Oh, God. Ah, dear. So let's try Umbrella again. I shall have to go and complain. And what was the password again? Oh, dear. Let's try that again. And it should authenticate us, unless it's Confluence that's being daft. Oh dear. Yes, I suspect that probably is it. The live demo fairies have gone and are not playing ball. But effectively, don't worry about that. We'll try that again. It will wake up. Yes, I am more than happy to take questions at this point.
Questions for Stefan.
So I'll just do that. That's probably the easiest. Make it go away.
Stefan.
Yes.
Great presentation, and I love it. That sorry, David Hayne from the University of Kent.
Yes.
One of the questions around Moonshot that I have is software licensing issues.
Yeah.
Are you guys just using all open source software, so it's not an issue, or do you?
Yes. Most of, well, certainly Moonshot, as far as I know, is...
All of the core Moonshot stuff is BSD licensed.
No, but there's more case. Once you've got the access, you then go on to use applications with like software licensing requirements.
Well, certainly most of the software that we use at Diamond is open source. I mean, for example, Dawn and OpenGDA are open source. And if there are any pieces of software that are not generally open source, of course, you'll have to make sure that your licensing, your access complies with the licensing.
For example, it works with Exchange and Outlook on Windows, and that's closed source and certain licenses and stuff.
But just following up on that, who do you put the responsibility on to sort that out? Do you regard that as a user's responsibility to know what licensing is, or?
That would be the service provider. So that would be, for example, in our case, that would be us. So Diamond would have to make sure that any licenses that are, or any software that is remote accessed remotely, is actually licensed to be used like that.
So you're using Moonshot, the underlying technology, to do the authentication.
Yeah.
But you're then using the authorization based on...
The local user. Correct, yes.
It depends on the application. So, for example, with Exchange, you still have to be creating a mailbox and making a link from a federated identity to the mailbox, so we still manage just like you normally would.
So, certainly for us at Diamond, it is everything is everything revolves around the local user. So, our local users, whatever they have access to, will be what they can get access to with Moonshot. So, if they SSH into a system, that actual authentication in that system, that is Moonshot, but everything else after that is actually what we allow them to see. So if they have an Exchange mailbox, then they will be able to use Exchange like that, provided that our system has been set up to allow for remote access. But yes, it's fairly straightforward. It's literally just the authentication that we're changing. Everything else remains the same. The permissions remain the same. And that's certainly how my manager, well, how Bill Pulford wanted it, because ultimately all our users just want to be able to get into the system, do their research, and go away with their data. And if they, like I said, have a brainwave at 4 o'clock in the morning, they can go SSH into that archive, pull their data out, and go, right, yes, let's check whether we actually have what I thought was the brainwave. And possibly go to another facility or two other facilities that they've also got research at, pull that same data out, and then be able to take the three sets, do stuff with it.
Thank you. Any further questions?
Any other questions?
Case we could show appreciation to Stefan.
Thank you very much.
Stefan, if anyone wants to catch you afterwards, you're around today and for lunch.
I am, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be around.
Thank you to all our speakers again. Lunch is now in the main auditorium, main stand area where the refreshments have been before. Thanks, everybody.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of NetWorkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.